We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to the Fluence Forum on WCCO News Talk 830, brought to you by Minnesota's Farm Growers. We're introducing Minnesota's commissioners and representatives from nine of Minnesota's departments. Kicking it off, Commissioner Peterson, Tom Peterson of Agriculture, can you talk about how Governor Walz has charged you to get outside the Capitol and outside of St. Paul?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think that, you know, what one thing I think that Governor Walz, and looking at what I would bring as commissioner, was relationships. And I know you're all going to roll your eyes when I say this, but, you know, the One Minnesota thing was really important to Governor Walz, and it was his theme. And for me, agriculture is really that. You know, when you look at agriculture, the whole state, I look at everybody in this room. Heck, I know half the farmers in this room, and everybody farms a little bit different. You might grow corn, you might grow soybeans, but everybody does it a little differently in a different part of the state, but we all got to figure it together. And myself as commissioner, I have to try to lead that and try to be an advocate and a cheerleader and try to, you know, do everything we can in a challenging times. Our farm income was the lowest it's been in the last 23 years last year. You know, our weather in this area, our trade situation. And so, you know, the charge is to understand, to listen, to try to do better, as you heard. And so having the commissioners here and trying to work better against the cross-state agencies, again, top priority for us.
I want to introduce the commissioners that are with us and the deputy commissioners. Laura Bishop, Commissioner of Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Cynthia Bowerly, Commissioner of Revenue. We have Ryan Bountrog from the Minnesota Department of Housing, Steve Kelly, Commissioner of Commerce, Margaret Anderson Kelleher, Commissioner of Transportation, Nancy Lepnick, Commissioner of Labor and Industry, Steve Grove, Commissioner of Deed, and Barb Naramore from the Department of National Resources, and Courtney Jordan Buechler, Commissioner of Department of Health. I want to kick it off just with you, Commissioner Bishop. Can you talk about how in this role, and you guys can all think about how you're going to answer this question, how in your role as PCA commissioner you look at intersecting with folks throughout Minnesota and the PCA's role?
Yeah. So thank you so much for having me here, and it's really a pleasure to be at FarmFest. For me, really getting out into the communities has been a priority for me. I've spent time also meeting with many of you in my offices in St. Paul, but my real preference is to get out there and get into the communities. So I've spent a lot of time, and so I think the intersections between agency, I mean, not only do Tom and I get together for lunch once in a while, we have meetings together, we do visits together to different locations and farms, which I'm starting a number of those in the next few months, and really looking forward to doing that, especially during harvest time. But the intersections all interplay. So while it's we might be working together on ag, and it could be permitting issues, it also is really about soil health and how we look at that and how we keep that those soils on the land and protect our waters, and we're working on that together. We also work with DNR in that way, with Department of Health in that way. So all of our different agencies work together really with the goal of helping to make greater Minnesota economically sound and bring jobs to greater Minnesota, as well as protect both the environment and the health of our communities.
Thanks, Commissioner Bishop. Commissioner Bowerly, everybody thinks of revenue as just collecting taxes, but you think of the ways in which the tax system and revenue system is different in different parts of the state, right?
Absolutely. Our revenue system is based on the diverse and great economy that we have around the state of Minnesota. So first, thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you to the Corn Growers for sponsoring this and for Beloit's Influence Media for offering us this opportunity to talk about the important issues facing the ag economy here in Minnesota. So at the Department of Revenue, our mission is working together to fund Minnesota's future. So it's not only about ensuring that everyone who has an obligation under Minnesota's laws has a convenient and easy way to make sure they complete that obligation, but also the opportunities in our tax code. For example, in the 2019 tax bill, Governor Walz signed into law a provision called 179 expensing, which allows for depreciation, accelerated depreciation for equipment. It's really important to farmers. It's important to the implement dealers that are around Minnesota. We know that that's an important provision, and we're glad that we were able to bring that to Minnesota and match it up with the federal bill. We also work closely with agencies to help co-administer some programs, including the Beginning Farmer Tax Credit, which we administer with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And we also work closely with counties who are responsible in Minnesota's system for our state property tax, our local property taxes. We have a role to ensure that that property tax is being administered fairly and consistently across the state, but that is handled at that local level. And so we work with counties, particularly as counties are going to be implementing, again, a provision signed into law by Governor Walz in the 2019 tax bill around the Ag School Bond Credit. In Minnesota, we have a 40% credit for the agricultural school bond, which represents a $40 million cut to farmers in their property taxes for those school levies, the capital levies, and will grow to an $80 million investment as that grows to 70% over the next few years. So there are a lot of ways that we intersect with farmers. We consider everyone in Minnesota who, again, has an obligation or a benefit entitled to them under the tax code to be our customer. So we look forward to serving you as customers and working with you as we move forward.
You're listening to the Fluence Forum on News Talk 830 WCCO. Next up is Department of Housing, Deputy Commissioner Bontoc. Talk about how this administration is focused on housing and how Greater Minnesota is one of those focus.
Great, and thanks for having me. The commissioner sends her best. She's feeling a little under the weather, but I'm really excited to be here. It's an honor to be here. I only wish I could have brought my four-year-old. I think he'd be having a lot more fun here today. So thanks again for having me. And this this administration, the Walz administration, really sees housing as being fundamental to the rural economy. And I think no matter where we go across the state, we're seeing a lack of housing. We're seeing housing that needs to be improved and maintained. And so this governor had the largest ever budget for housing, both in new production and then preserving what we have. And so, got a couple of applause out there, that's great. So it was the largest budget ever. So I think we're seeing what we've always seen at Minnesota Housing is that housing is the foundation for success. And without having affordable and available housing, it's hard to focus on any things. And we know in a lot of parts across the state, a lot of cities, there's no housing that's available. And the housing that is available isn't affordable, or it's really old and needs to be maintained. And so we're looking at ways that we can invest in new housing. We need to build new housing, and we need to preserve the housing that we have. And so coming up this fall, you'll see some funding available just for Greater Minnesota. So some resources just to preserve the housing that exists, working with the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Rural Development Program. So we're working with them to preserve, but then we'll also have a program that is just for exclusive for new construction in communities less than 15,000, where we need to build some housing to free up, get some more supply to house some of the workers. So really excited that housing has such a place in the administration. It's really critical. Farms need workers, and workers need housing. And so we're hoping that we can really find some options to increase some of the supply and preserve the homes that we have.
Commissioner Steve Kelly, Department of Commerce. Obviously, healthcare is a big issue we're going to get to, but what are the other ways in which the Department of Commerce intersects with Greater Minnesota and farmers?
Thanks, Boyce, and thanks to Tom Peterson and to the organizers of Farm Fest for the opportunity to be here today. The Department of Commerce intersects with the farm economy, with farmers, in a lot of different ways. For example, we believe that healthy community banks and credit unions are important to the success of farmers and our rural communities. And so if we are doing our job right and making sure that when you put money in a bank, that bank is safe and sound, it will be there tomorrow when you need the money back out, that's important. But the services are also important, making sure that you have credit available so that you can invest in your businesses. We also provide guidance to the state chartered banks that we regulate. So recently, we've had some federally chartered, large money-centered banks get worried about their exposure to farmers who were planting hemp. And so we were able to work with some of those farmers and help steer them to some other banking options that we work with so that those services were available. That's just one example in the banking area. We also regulate insurance. And as Boyce said, that includes health insurance. But we're also paying attention to property and casualty, to making sure that communities have access to flood insurance. Every spring, we remind people, you can't wait until the flood happens to buy flood insurance because there's a 30-day waiting period. So keep that in mind for next spring. We also have weights and measures teams that get around to all of the not only the pumps at the gasoline station, but scales. And so whether you're on the buying or selling side, you want to make sure that that scale is accurate so that you're paying for exactly what you're getting. And then I was just in Germany with the Lieutenant Governor and with Gary Wertisch and Kevin Papp and Andrea Vaubel from the Department of Agriculture. And we know that farmers and rural communities are going to be part of the renewable energy future. We won't achieve our goals for renewable energy and the economic development that goes along with that without the participation of farmers and rural communities. So we see lots of opportunities to work with all of you to make that future possible.
We're going to hit one more commissioner here, and then we're going to take a quick break. But next up is Transportation Commissioner Margaret Anderson Kelleher, who I know drove on some roads on the way out here. There was some construction. But I also know that she grew up on a farm, so she knows a thing or two about ag.
Well, first of all, thanks, Blois. Thanks to Farm Fest. Thanks to the corn growers for sponsoring this. This is not my first Farm Fest, and I'm glad to be back again to thank all of you for farming. It's been a tough couple of years here, and sometimes we make your job probably a little bit harder with all that construction right now. But our goal every single day is to make sure that Minnesotans can get safely to and from their homes with their goods and be able to move them smoothly. And that includes the railroads that we have a interaction with as well as our road system. And so I just really appreciate all of you being here. You know, because you are driving them every single day, that we have an aging road system in Minnesota. 50% of our roads are 50 years old or older, and I'll tell you, the base of those roads starts to break down. 40% of our bridges are 40 years old or older, and you know the pain of that. When we have to close a bridge for weight restriction, and you have to take a detour, and that adds both time and money to the trip, as well as the time that you don't get to spend back at home on critical things. So that's one of the important things to the governor right now, is it's a little bit of unfinished business from this last legislative session, that since 2008, we have had no new revenue into the transportation system. We have had a lot of trunk highway bonds authorized, and we appreciate those deeply, but they don't really help your communities as much as we could if we had some new revenue into the system, where we are sharing the revenue with your counties, with towns over 5,000, and of course trying to solve for the issue, which is many towns in Minnesota that are under the population of 5,000 who right now, without special appropriation, do not get funding off of our road formula. So I hope we get to talk about that a little more. I will point out that John Huseby is here today. He is our district engineer. John, stand up. I know we have a MnDOT booth out there, and that is focused on safety. You all know that we have just implemented the hands-free legislation in the state of Minnesota. Very important across the state. But rural roads, it's really important because you drive them every day. You know these issues. And one of the other things that booth has is a way you can look at the impact of the seatbelt. And I know that can be a little bit, you know, sometimes we don't want to put our seatbelt on in farm country because we're taking a short trip, but it's really critical to go visit over there and see what those low speed, even at a low speed of 30 miles an hour, what happens without the seatbelt on. So I just want to say we're focused on safety, we're focused on getting the goods and services around the state of Minnesota, and we want to be hearing from you as we are planning projects across the state.
You're listening to Affluence Forum at Farm Fest. We're talking with 9 representatives of Minnesota State Commissions. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, moving on. Nancy Lepink, Commissioner of Department of Labor and Industry, can you talk about how you look at Greater Minnesota versus the cities and where your department intersects with farmers?
So the Walz Flanagan administration is committed to the prosperity of families and communities across the state. So that means whether you're in Redwood Falls or if you're in Two Harbors or you're in Minneapolis and St. Paul. And by decent work, and of course decent work is the underpinnings, critical underpinning of prosperous families and prosperous communities. So that means, what do we mean by decent work? Fair day's pay for a fair day's work. Work that is safe and healthy. And if you have the misfortune of being injured at work, that you have protections and a workers' compensation system that gets you the medical care that you need and gets you and works with you on a pathway back to work. And of course, decent work also is dependent on the strength of our employers who create that decent work. And that means the department needs to work with businesses and to support them in ensuring that they have the knowledge and expertise to fulfill their obligations related to decent work, but also the department has an important role in creating a pipeline of the future workers that will fill those jobs. And so the department also is responsible for the Registered Apprenticeship Program, for a Youth Skills Training Program, and for a Dual Training Pipeline Program, where we have found opportunities, good opportunities, to work with the agricultural community in creating a pipeline of their workforce to moving into what is becoming more and more jobs that are informed and enabled by technology. So consequently, the department sees itself as a important role across the state, but would actually like to pursue a greater opportunity to work in agriculture, particularly in the area of work to developing that next generation of farmers and agricultural workers. So,
thank you, Commissioner Lepping. Commissioner Grove, Department of Economic Development, and we're going to just focus on kind of how you look at growing jobs, and then you're going to have a few other questions coming. So.
Sure. All right. Well, thanks for the heads up. Boys, thanks. Thanks, everyone, for being here for this conversation. Really thrilled to be here. I grew up on a small hobby farm outside of Northfield. Are there any Northfielders in the room? Any hands? There we go. A few. I always got to check. But I haven't lived in the state for the last 20 years. I've been living on the West Coast in Silicon Valley. I'm thrilled to be back here in Minnesota and honored to be working for the governor. Our department is focused on empowering the growth of the Minnesota economy for everyone. And for everyone, that means no matter where you live, what your zip code is, what your background is, we are a department that is here to help your economic security thrive. And when I think about that as it relates to agriculture, where DEED comes to play is most often how we help small towns thrive at a difficult time for small towns in our country and in our state. So that begins with some basic infrastructure things. On one level, we have great public infrastructure bonds we put into play through DEED to help small towns thrive from an infrastructure standpoint. We also think about what is the infrastructure of the 21st century that's going to help small towns support small businesses and farm economies in the future. And a big part of that is broadband. So we have one of the nation's leading broadband grant programs indeed. It helps provide subsidies to telecoms for who wouldn't otherwise develop in parts of the state where it's harder to get connections to. And so that's a huge focus of DEED. We passed about $40 million in additional grant dollars this last session focused on broadband. All of that goes to rural cities and towns. And then you start to think about the economic development challenges that are unique to small towns. We have one of the worst child care situations in the country, in our state. We have the fourth highest cost of child care per family in the state, and there just simply are not enough seats for kids in child care facilities in Minnesota. And that prevents parents from going to work. It incentivizes grandparents to retire earlier and get out of the workforce so they can take care of their grandkids instead of having parents have to find a way to do that. And so it's a huge economic development challenge. We have passed several million dollars in grants there to help new businesses start up and grow, and we want to do even more. I think there's a long ways to go on that front, and we have to solve that challenge in rural Minnesota to help our farms and our economies thrive. And then I think the broader question is, you know, as Commissioner Anderson Kelleher said, this is a tough time for farmers, and we know that. And we know that there's all kinds of conditions that are making that the case. We want to make sure that farmers who need temporary work outside of their day-to-day work on farms, who need work in the off-season, who experience flooding or the natural disasters that take them out of the business for a year, can find other work and find it quickly. And so our department also focuses on helping people find jobs in Minnesota and workforce development here. We have career force centers across the state, about 50 of them. I don't think farmers take advantage of them very often because you kind of got to go into the center and register, and it's kind of this onerous process. And, you know, farmers, I think, are famously and proudly independent. And so we're trying to shift our model to get our career force efforts out into the field more, to go visit farms directly and just offer up whatever opportunities we can when that's something that will help. Last, I'll say this. We worked very closely with Commissioner Peterson on a program to help smaller dairy farms. Dairy farms have been some of the hardest hit parts of our economy as it relates to ag. And so we passed about $3 million in grant funding to smaller dairy farms, which sometimes face the biggest challenges. If you produce under 16 million tons gallons of milk a year, you're eligible. You can get some subsidies there to help get through these tougher times. So we think about this really holistically, but we want this to be kind of a state where you don't got to live in a metro area or a big city to succeed and to thrive. And that means making rural Minnesota a really great option to grow a family and a business and get a job. And so that's really where DEED spends a lot of our time, and thrilled to be here today to talk to you more about that.
Thank you, Commissioner Grove. A reminder to our listeners, we're listening to Affluence Forum on WCCO Radio from Farm Fest with nine representatives of Minnesota's State Department. Moving on here, Commissioner, as we start to kind of think about the other departments, can we talk about Barb Naramore from DNR, how DNR intersects with farming, because it's not just about public lands, but it's also adjacent lands and things like that, right?
Absolutely. And thank you so much, Blois, and all of the organizers, and Commissioner Peterson for having DNR join this great panel. I want to also just briefly express Commissioner Stroman's regrets for not being here. Only a family commitment more than a year in the making would have kept her from today. So she sends her greetings. So you really hit on something I think that's important. DNR has a very complex mission, but it really boils down to three things. We conserve natural resources, we provide recreational opportunities, and we help people make sustainable use, sustainable economic use of our natural resources. And where we do our very best work is when we're working at that intersection of those three, that three-part mission. And clearly, when we're in that area, we are affecting agriculture, and we are working with farm families in a whole myriad of ways, some of which I think are probably really obvious and well known to folks in this room, and maybe others that are a little more subtle. But, you know, a few examples I would just highlight. First of all, foremost, maybe, you know, farm families are outdoor families, not just when they're working, but in that precious time away from the farm that they have. You know, we know that farm families are active hunters, fishers, ATV riders, mushroom foragers, and park goers. And just this morning, we had a grandmother and her 9-year-old grandson at our DNR tent, shameless plug by gate 2, so pay us a visit, please. They had already been to 40 of our more than 70 state parks. So here he is. He's 9 years old. He's halfway to completing his state park passport. And so we know there's a lot of that use of our outdoor resources by farm families. We also know that whether it's chronic wasting disease or our overall management of the state deer herd, the way we manage wildlife affects agricultural producers. And we're keenly aware of that. We really appreciate the participation of producers in our planning groups and the other ways in which you help us in that work. We know that the way we manage our state lands also provides important benefits, whether it's creating habitat for really economically important pollinators and other kinds of general statewide benefits from the way we manage our public lands. There are important recreational opportunities that not only improve the quality of life for residents in greater Minnesota, but they also are an important and very complementary area of economic activity for rural communities. And so we were just out a few weeks ago talking with folks in the Fergus Falls area and the way in which the trail system in that area has generated economic activity for folks in the area surrounding Fergus Falls was really important to them. We know it's important to work as a good neighbor as we manage our DNR lands, and so we certainly strive to do that, and I'm eager to talk about ways in which we can enhance that work. And then water management. Whether it's the way that we seek to fulfill our mission to manage our groundwater and our surface water in the states in a sustainable way, in a way that supports agricultural production, supports industry, supports rural communities, the work we do with flood hazard mitigation and ensuring that our public waters continue to be available for all of their uses. And in all of that work, I guess the thing I would underscore is the way in which it's critically important that we work with landowners, we work with stakeholder groups, and we work with our other state agencies, the SWCDs, the watershed districts, because certainly at DNR, the way our mission sort of intersects with so many others, we are keenly aware that we can't do it alone.
Thank you. And not to leave anything out, because healthcare is a major issue, and the Department of Health intersects with ag and water and otherwise, introduce Courtney Backler, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Health. If you could just talk about the Department of Health quickly, and then I'll dive into a couple specific topics for the panel.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me here. And again, Commissioner Malcolm sends her regrets for not being able to be here. Just want to point out a couple areas. You'll find, just as Governor Walz talked, that we really believe in whole people, whole communities at the Department of Health. We pretty much partner with every agency here as we recognize health is not something that's determined in isolation. So just highlighting a few areas, we partner up with Department of Agriculture on safe drinking water. We work a lot with the agricultural community on private wells and ensuring that we have the standards that we need there from a water perspective. We also work on indoor air quality, looking at radon, mold, et cetera. And then we also do a lot promoting our farmers markets because, again, not only do we feel like it's a great economic opportunity for farmers, but we believe so wholeheartedly that it's a way for us to socially connect and bring purpose to our life outside of our usual daily activities. But most importantly, what I want to highlight, and I think many of you know here, is right now from a mental health perspective, this is the biggest need we're seeing from our agricultural community. We are seeing the highest suicide rates that we've ever seen with our farmers. As a practicing cardiologist, I know upwards of 1/3 of all heart disease is caused from stress, mental health challenges, and this really does cause coronary artery disease. So at the Department of Health, we are doing a ton to work not just with traditional access through mental health opportunities from the clinic side, but also how we rally around our communities, creating different ways to build resilience and different opportunities, knowing so much of this is developed, again, not just on the mental side, but with our environment and everything that goes into that. So very excited to be a true contributor to this hopeful solution.
Thank you very much. Reminder to our listeners on the radio, you're listening to Affluence Forum, brought to you by the Minnesota's Corn Growers. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. All right, let's dive right in. Thanks, everyone, for that 101 on your role and your agency's role. I'm going to just start with permitting, because it probably come up once or twice. Commissioner Bishop and Commissioner Grove, can you talk about how DEED in recruiting and attracting businesses and MPCA can work better together on permitting with agencies or with businesses and agriculture in Minnesota? We'll kick it off with you, Commissioner Bishop.
Sure. So I think for me, the first thing that is very important is listening and listening to the communities that we may be regulating. And I don't think you can do enough of that. So we do have different forums that we've brought people together to help on improving some of the permitting processes. And I know we did that with the ethanol industry not so long ago on a working group that really came together and looked at kind of what certainty they needed in their permits as well as how to streamline that some. And I was recently at Poet ethanol facility and kind of saw some of this firsthand and learned firsthand about this. But I really do think that the listening piece is important, and it's a listening both ways. It's listening to you and our employees, ensuring that they're listening to each other and working across all of our agency. If you need an air permit for something, you shouldn't have to go to five different people to see that permit through the process. They should be talking, they should be working together, and you should have more of a single point of contact. Same goes with a water permit. So I've really looked at how we can improve the processes internally, and we're going through a whole review on that right now with our permitting processes to better address the needs of the community. And one of the first things I did was really sit down with many of the industry groups here, as well as the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, to say, I want to know what it's like to come in the front door of the MPCA, and then how long it takes to have an outcome as well. And it takes too long. So what we can do to be a more trusted partner and to facilitate that process is what I'm trying to learn and what I'd like to hear more of from you all.
Thank you. Commissioner Grove, can you talk about what you've heard and how you look at it from, attracting and recruiting businesses to Minnesota?
Yeah, it's a great point. And I think for those in the audience to think about MPCA and DEED, DEED is all about growing our economy through whatever incentives and programs we can build to incentivize businesses to come. And then MPCA, make sure that that growth is really thoughtful and takes into consideration all the right permitting and regulatory frameworks that are necessary. We have a great relationship with MPCA. We think it's critical that we work really well together. And I think now more than ever, when you look at all the innovation happening in agriculture today, it's quite exciting. And there are all kinds of new products and new opportunities. The industry is changing very, very quickly. I was over at the AURI tent earlier today and learning about a lot of new products that they're helping incubate and grow. It is a really unique time for ag tech. You look at things like the Techstars Farm to Fork Accelerator in the Twin Cities. It's bringing startups from around the country with Land O'Lakes and Cargill to help grow their new ideas. All these new ideas are charting uncharted territory that need guidance as quickly as possible from government so that they can succeed quickly and Minnesota can be out on the forefront of innovation agriculture versus lagging behind. So I think it is important that our departments work together. One of the things that we have done to make sure we get that right is something called Minnesota Business First Stop. And it's this idea that, MPCA, DEED, Commerce, DNR, all the organizations that a business has to kind of run through to get themselves set up in the state, take a more kind of user-centered approach and think about those businesses as one customer who really only views government as just state government. They don't think about all the agencies necessarily and don't have time to navigate the complexities that oftentimes happen when you have a 35,000-person, 24-department state government in charge. And we try to create kind of a concierge-like approach for those businesses to help them understand, to Commissioner Bishop's point, to have a single point of contact to make that process easier. And we think that's important so that we can keep growing and incentivizing new businesses to choose Minnesota as the place that they want to build and grow.
Thanks, Commissioners Bishop and Grove. The next topic I want to raise is healthcare. And just for technical purposes, because the engineer and producer is texting me, we have about 8 minutes, and then we won't have to worry about any of these breaks anymore. So thank you. As we talk about health care, it's a major issue in Greater Minnesota. Commissioner Kelly, can you talk about how you've looked at the cost and access issues and what other departments you're looking to intersect with here?
From the beginning of the Walz-Flanagan administration, the Department of Commerce has worked together with the Department of Health and the Department of Human Services with revenue and the Minnesota Management and Budget to identify ways that we can continue to stabilize prices, especially in the individual market where so many farmers are buying their health insurance. And the governor had a proposal that was a premium subsidy. The legislature did not accept that, but the legislature did renew a reinsurance approach where the state subsidizes the individual insurance market and healthcare with a 20% subsidy that tries to lower the costs for everyone in the individual market. That's a really good start. That's in place in the coming years. And as we've seen insurance companies file their rate requests with the Department of Commerce, those rates in some cases have gone up, but not by as much as in recent years. And in some cases, some companies actually proposed cutting their rates. So we'll see what happens with the final rates that the department approves. But the governor and lieutenant governor also had a proposal for a state-based tax credit that would have been especially beneficial for rural Minnesota, because as the number of providers in Greater Minnesota has consolidated, you see more mergers of healthcare systems, and there are fewer choices, that has helped increase the healthcare price that is then charged through your insurance company. And we haven't found a solution to that yet, but the governor proposed a state-based tax credit that would be based on your income, so that low-income people, and this would be especially beneficial in rural areas because of the higher costs, we would buy down an additional portion of your health care costs. And that would have created a more level cost situation between rural residents and metropolitan residents. The legislature did not go for that proposal, but I know the governor and lieutenant governor are still committed to that concept of making sure that the way we deliver health insurance works for everybody in Minnesota.
Thanks, Commissioner Steve Kelly from the Department of Commerce. So I'm going to wrap this portion with Commissioner Tom Peterson of Agriculture. I saw you shaking your head, nodding your head when you talked about farm-related stress and impact on health care. How have you started to think about that at the Department of Ag to make sure that farmers know that they have resources other than traditional resources that farmers think about?
You know, I think that's probably the hardest part about being a commissioner, and people ask me that all the time. And the hardest part is you just want to be able to help everybody, and you just can't sometimes. And I think that you know, right now is just a really stressful time. And I talk to farmers, I think some people call me at 7 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night and just want to talk. And you see that just in spades right now. And it's really, it's too bad, you know, but what we want people to know at the Department of Agriculture that there's resources out there, that we have a helpline. We have our farm advocate program. We have our mediation program. You know, a lot of these programs were put in the 80s, and, you know, we're using them as much now as we were then. But, you know, we want people to know that that there's help there, and it's good help. You know, I was just up in Gully, Minnesota, for one of our farm advocates that just retired after 35 years, and I had lunch with her. And she told me that she had helped hundreds of farmers, and we had lunch with her, a little retirement lunch, and a lot of the farmers came, and they thought, and they said, no, probably thousands. And some of the farmers were there and said, yep, she helped me through this and this through this, and but they said if I had never asked, I probably wouldn't have made it. And she told me she'd only lost two or three farmers the whole time. And so, you know, that's my message, is just that, you know, that there's help there at the department if you need it. and there's help if your neighbor needs it. And so that's kind of our message, Blaise. And this year, the legislature, I see Senator Dame, Senator Frentz out there, passed some money. We doubled our mental health counseling this year from 1 to 2, but that's really important. We'll be able to serve more farmers this year with our mental health counseling, and it's very important because, unfortunately, and that's the hardest part with being commissioner, that we have had farmers take their lives and make that choice, and that's very difficult. So I appreciate you asking that question. And yep.
Sounds good. You've been listening to the Fluence Forum on WCCO News Talk 830, brought to you by Minnesota's Corn Growers. The conversation will continue, and you can download this by downloading the radio.com app in your app store or by going to WCCORadio.com and looking for the Fluence Forum. I want to thank our commissioners for joining us today and thank the Minnesota Corn Growers as well.